So, anyway, it's not going to be a very long live unless there's multiple questions. But at 8 a.m. in the morning, I don't expect like 1,000 people. Tony, that's what I do. I keep my routine. It's actually part of the keys to work from home, is to keep your routine. I'm just gonna put my notes here. And yes, you just heard a Windows song. And yes, I'm not proud of it. Because to use Streamlab, I had to be on Windows. So after that, I'm gonna switch back on Linux. But no, for real, like people working from home, that especially the ones that are not used to, needs to keep their routine. Like if your routine is to wake up at 7 a.m., you have a shower, you have breakfast, if ever you have breakfast, like you keep that routine going on, because it's no different working from home. It's actually true in both cases, Eric. Like, I got very fat working from home, and because I would not get out of my chair, basically. Now, normally I would go to the gym anyway, but gym being closed is a pain in the ass. Rico, you're funny. Rico is bringing his Metro card. Oh, that's funny. No, but you know, something I've noticed. Look, because I've been asked a few tips lately, because I did work from home years ago for 2 years in a row in my bedroom, four white walls. And at the time, there was no very fast internet connection. There was no fancy computer like I have now, three screen. And I was working a lot. I was staying in my bedroom, probably with sleeping a good 22 hours a day. That was crazy. So I do have a lot of feedback about working from home and tips. But and even this week, like for me, I'm not used to work from home anymore. But I'm this week has been a learning curve again, because I got back into bad habits and I'm realizing new things that I did not know at the time. So, for example, this is my home office, okay? And I've worked on my home office about 2-3 months ago. And I set up a computer and I got back into gaming as well. That's why I have three screens. But the thing that I did not plan for is that I would end up working from home for a full week or a couple of weeks. And because one of the tips I have is that you should have a dedicated place to work from home, not your regular gaming or, you know, place where you goof around. It should be a different setup. It should be a different place. And it's just a mental or psychological matter. It's necessary to have a separate place. A few guys at the office are doing it. Now for me, my problem is that I did set up this nice office, but I don't have a dedicated place anymore, because I got rid of my laptop and now I have only desktop. So the alternative to that is to have, for me, what works for me is to have a different boot partition. So I do have that Windows for when I'm gaming, and I have my Linux when I'm working. And my Linux is a mirror from the office, so it's super easy. But I do feel that when I boot on Linux, it's super easy for me to be in the mindset of working. Sometimes I have to stay on Windows for some reason, but or I'm just too lazy to switch. But this week has been a little bit learning for me. But you need to have this discipline of you need to have this discipline about noticing, being self-aware of what makes you being less efficient when you're working from home. And it's so easy to be less efficient at home. So having a dedicated place is definitely a must if you can. If not, it has to, it, at least it has to be in the computer itself. Well, yeah, Guillaume, that's the thing. That's why, like, I have my, you know, I can show you roughly what it looks like, but basically, I don't know if I'm gonna get it right, but you know, so I have my rig. At the same time, that's the computer I have, right? But the fact that I have my Linux, because gaming on Linux is not very efficient, because I have that, I can just reboot and boot on Linux, so then I'm gonna be fine, and I feel that I'm working. And on Linux, I do not enable my two screen on top, so it's quite easy this way. The thing that I miss though is that because my home office is in the basement again, because when I worked 2 years from home, my office was in the basement, very small window, and I would basically work, like I said, spend about 21, 22 hours a day in my bedroom. The 1 or 2 hours out would be to eat and go for a walk with the kids, and that was not fun. If you would see the picture, I shared a picture with the staff the other day, but the and I had the super crazy a glass desk with 17 inches screen, and at the time those monitors were super super nice, and but I had two square, not wide, internet connection was maybe 1 meg at max. So there was no way really to goof around and get distracted during the day. So on Insta, someone saying that I don't see who, but saying that it's easy to get distracted. It's definitely easy to get distracted. Your family should be respecting the fact that you're working, definitely. My nose, I think it happens one yesterday that my daughter came down and see me to ask me something, but other than that, no one is disturbing me when I'm working. One of the tips that works very well too for me, and like I said, is if you have that routine where you know, you wake up at a certain time and you're going for a shower and you're doing things, you need to keep doing this when you work from home. It's no difference. You need to get clothed. You need to get dressed. Super important as well. Don't work in underwears. You need to, basically, you don't change anything. It's just the workplace that changes. But one thing for me, this week, one of my biggest challenge, well, yeah, Rico, warm shower. I wanted to go in the cold bath this morning, but I woke up a little bit later, which has been, how can I say that? I missed on that. I dropped the ball on that. I was supposed to wake up a little bit earlier. So I'm probably gonna go for a cold bath later today. But one of my challenge this week, and because I have not much distraction, I've made my environment here so distractionless, is that I'm gonna work in the morning, probably around like 6:30 or 7, and by noon I'm gonna have work so much and so focused on something that I'm crashed for the rest of the day. So definitely I need to get up and go outside or do something, you know, a couple times during the morning. That's been a big challenge for me this week. Like I said, I'm not used to work from home. I really like the office, because I like to connect with people. Although I don't talk much with people, but I like to connect with people. I like this connection. It wakes you up, you know. Plus, it forces you to go for a walk, in the office, and not stay on your ass all day. Well, that's it. Walking outside is the best, but what are you gonna do when it's gonna be raining, or like, you need alternatives, you know? Yeah, I know. I'm super bad at it. I'm super bad at taking breaks. Even at the office, sometimes I get caught up and I just work for a while, and I'm there generally around 6:30 in the morning, and by 4 I realized that I did not go outside, you know. No, I just realized that I've closed Slack, so I don't see what Kyler's texting me. So a question that came is, I find there's a lot of distraction with Slack and email because of quarantine. How do you stay focused while still being connected with your team and company? Well, not look, I think many, if not most, companies got caught off guard with this situation, and we're not ready for that, and we were one of them. Except that we had a couple, you know, concept or procedures that we've put in place the first day just to help. And you know, one of them is you're not supposed to Slack nonstop. You know, if you're going to ask someone and have a question to someone and have a conversation following that question, you better just use the call feature in Slack, and that's what I do. That's what a few guys does, and it's much more efficient. You're not supposed to be slacking for 10 minutes to answer a question. Just pick up the phone and call. Now, if Tony was live, he would sing that's the. Oh no, that wasn't a song. That was a video we did. Just pick up the phone and call. But that is efficient to me. So if I ask a question and I see that the answer is going to be too long, or I'm going to have a few back and forth, I just click the call button. And the Slack ver the Slack feed phone f or call feature works very well. But yeah, you can definitely be distracted. Basically you need accountability. It's all about accountability, and that's what I mean about companies being caught off guard, because if they were not ready and they don't have any accountability in place, then you're gonna lose track, and everything's gonna derail. You have some exceptions normally in companies. There's always this 80-20 rules. In this case, I would say maybe 20% of the staff, not especially in our company, but I mean in general, there's always that 20% of the people that will have 80% of the discipline of all people. And it's really not to be negative. I mean that those exceptional, because look, I've been guilty of that when I was working from home. I was not very disciplined, and I was easily being, you know, distract and doing other things during the day. So I've been guilty of that too. Some people, which I call them almost the exceptions, are able to be working nonstop, and no matter if they have this accountability or distraction around them, they're gonna still be working and give their all during the day. But yeah, you know, I'm a gamer now. I mean, back long time ago, I was competing in Counter-Strike until version 1.6, and then after that, I stopped, and I did not game since, until about 2 months ago. The guys at the office introduced me Tarkov. And I really got back into it, and I really like it. It's challenging for me during the day when I'm tired or when I need a break to not open it and go for a game. But that is discipline. Like for me, I should not be gaming during my workday. So that's and then that's what I'm hoping that the guys are doing as well. Obviously, I'm not in their in their apartment, so I don't know. I do feel that most, if not all of them, are disciplined on that aspect, but it's easy. Like I've been guilty of that in the past, so it's easy to be distracted, but at the same time you need to build that discipline based on accountability. And accountability is something super easy to do. Like you can basically say, get accountable to another colleague and do this trick this trade with that person. For example, you could be saying, I'm gonna call you 2 3 times randomly during the day, just for 3 4 5 minute calls, and even if we don't talk, we don't talk, but I want to make sure that you're gonna be working, and I want you to make sure that I'm gonna be working, and at the same time we stay connected with each other. So this is just common sense to me, like, and why not? Why not just give a call to a colleague once in a while, even if it's to stay online 10 minutes, not talking, and just feel that the person can watch you. Something we do also at the office, and it's not really to catch people. But we do call randomly people just to, at the same time, is to check in and see if everything goes well. But at the same time, yeah, you see if someone is gonna be slack enough or not, and at the same time, it gives this accountability, and my goal is to not let people fail. So it's not that I'm so worried and I don't trust people. I laugh at this. I'm gonna just go sideways a little bit. I laugh at this because I see on LinkedIn late I saw on LinkedIn lately someone posting that if you don't trust them working from home, why did you hire them at first? This is so generalist. Like that's not the point. A good manager and a good leader will not put a staff member in a position to fail. So just basing your, just basing that on he's working from home, I trust him or I trust her, that doesn't work for me. It's not that. It's don't put your staff, don't give them a rope so they can hang themselves. It's that simple. And that's what I insist with the team leads at the office, because it don't, if you give them a rope, half of the team is going to be hanging himself. It's that simple. So that's the role of a good manager to me, and to not put them their staff in a position where they can fail. So there's a question coming in. What are your tips for limiting cross-tasking while working from home? Well, this week I at the office, I had forgot my notebook. And is it this one? I think it's this one. But basically, I have all my notes of what I want to achieve during the day, and I ended up going back because I quickly realized that if I don't plan my day, I'm just gonna be reacting to the day. So just this list here was one day, one time, and it looks like crazy, but the funny thing is when you write what you want to achieve during the day and you put times next to it, you realize that at the end of the day you may be having 4 or 5 hours of continuous work. For example, I had like here, I had a point about listing what I need to talk with my business partner, and literally I put 10 minutes next to it. But if on my list I have, I don't know. Oh, I for sorry, I forgot I have Instagram. Let me show you here. See, I'm not even used to stream from home. I'm gonna get better, promise. Where's my page? All right, so see, I had a big list here. And there's probably about 23, 24 points in there. But when you're honest and you're gonna write the time of execution per points, you're gonna realize that you don't have that much time to invest to achieve your list. Most of the time, we're gonna be stressing and being overwhelmed by the amount of items in the list. but really, it's super rare that you're gonna have three days of work in a to-do list, and it's not real. And that's my main tip for, you know, cross-tasking, and I'm not good at it, so I like to, when I start something, to finish it. I mean, to trust, I always had this belief that you trust the staff from day one, and it's up to them to keep that trust on. And same thing on the other side. They should trust you, and that's up to you as a boss or team lead or leader to not lose their trust. But because of your role, you cannot put them in a position to fail. Yeah, trust. Yeah, that reminds me of that quote about trust everyone but verify everything. I forgot who said that actually. I'm gonna keep going with the few points I had, few tips from home. Actually, I covered them all. That's funny. So I had to not change your routine. Wake up at the same time, go to bed at the same time, and I've been guilty of that a little bit this week. I went to the bed a few minutes later, especially because I'm not working out at 5 a.m. this week. So I went to the bed a little bit later, so I'm not proud of it. Getting off my chair has been a weakness. Then create self accountability. This is this sounds like complicated, but it's not. You know, this self accountability is like, you know, when you want to lose weight or go for a marathon or do something like that, and you're gonna go on Facebook and say, tell everyone what you're gonna do at what date. This is accountability. So you can do the same thing with your colleagues or boss or if you have an HR manager, you can ask that person, please give me a call once or twice a day. I need that to be more efficient. I don't know, like it's not very complicated to be self-accountable. A big problem I saw in the past with people working from home, I did not really have this issue personally, but I did see it, is that they would start, let's say, at 8 a.m. and then around 11 say, well, I need a break, I'm gonna game a little bit, then I'm gonna go for shopping, a grocery or whatever, then come back, keep working, and realize around 6 or 7 p.m. that the day is not over because of those pauses. And then you get stressed because you know that your evening is gonna be eaten by by this, you know. So that's why when I say keep your routine on, it's super important. So are you How are you connecting with the staff while working from home? Well, this week I did suck, honestly. I got destabilized personally. I did have a few calls with guys and girls, but I was not at my best this week, that's for sure. I did correct things from yesterday. But last week, for example, I did have a call with pretty much everyone, but it's hard when you have multiple people. And Steve is helping me with that, but just randomly calling someone and on Slack it's fun because you have this timer and you can just say, like last week, that's what I was doing. I was looking and I was giving myself 5 minutes per person. I did call probably like 13 or 14 people and within 2 hours. And tonight, Steve organized a 5 to 7, like I said, virtual on Zoom, so I'm gonna participate to that for sure with a glass of wine. It's gonna be cool. Making content while working from home. Well, again, that's a new adaptation. The same thing. This is one example, but not the best for sure. These days are very new. Like we call it the black swan. It's something that has it's unprecedented, so it's something you need to adapt to. You need to adapt to and try to look at new ways of doing things. And yeah, totally. The happy hour, that's it. Like I'm looking forward to it, honestly. Like when I saw that yesterday on Slack, I said, you know what? That's a great idea. That's gonna be fun. Just, release the stress a little bit, have some fun with the guys and have a glass of wine, which we don't do enough. Although I have some great bottles at the office, but it's a nice way to connect with people. But for me, what I miss the most, I think, working from home is just talking with people. I'm not very good at connecting with people. It's something that I've been working on a lot in the past 10 years probably, but because I'm really, really lonely. Lonely or loner? I don't know. But I like to do things alone, basically. But I do feel good when I talk with someone. And that's something I did realize this week again. I think it's Wednesday or Thursday. I had 4 or 5 calls in the morning with staff. And suddenly I felt energized, and good, and that was nice. Just doing that. It's funny because this week I did post something about that accountability is the laziness vaccine, and it's not that people are lazy. It's just because they don't have accountability. So that's what I meant. That's what I meant by that. It's some sort of leverage when you do that. We all do that at some point. We all put ourselves some accountability. Same thing with training, working out. I hate working out. I hate it. And at 5 in the morning, I hate it even more. But I think I would hate it even more if I would work out at 8 p.m. So for me, in order to be accountable, is to get a personal trainer. Otherwise, I'm not gonna do it. Like I'm not doing anything this week. So yeah, I look like I'm a super disciplined guy, but I just know how to have accountability. That's really what it is. And I believe that most, if not all, very disciplined people are just great at accountability. Because, for example, there's some guys on Instagram or wherever that shows a lot of discipline, but they have this accountability naturally imposed on them to present well on social media. So that's some sort of accountability. Me too, I miss you, Julia. Unless you just miss the office. I'm just reading some comments and questions. Yeah, that quote, I keep the IP. I don't have a lot of quote I created in my life, but that one, I like it. Another thing, I mean, I saw guys saying this week that since they're working from home, they're saving on food. Definitely. Definitely, because a lot of them were going for snacks and fast food during the day. Now, if you are going to work from home, you should plan that as well, because if your place has a lot of snacks and chips and granola bars and easy things to just grab when you're hungry, you're not gonna do any better than just having fast food. So I would probably, well, like we do here, like on Sundays, Saturday or Sundays, I cook the meat for the whole week. And so we have basically meat for the whole week, and the only thing that you need to do is cut some veggies and warm the meat, and you have a great salad. So the only thing I changed this week compared to before is that when I don't really feel like having just a salad with meat, I'm just gonna roll a wrap with my salad and the meat. But at the same time, I try to not get into the food laziness, let's call it, where you just go and grab something when you're hungry. Don't wait to be hungry to go eat, because that's when you're gonna make stupid decision. The same way as you don't go to the groceries when when you're hungry. Eat before going to the groceries. Accountability for myself, how do I create that? Well, like I said, for example, the workout, it's easy. I'm accountable to my trainer. Really accountable to my trainer. Working here, that's still a challenge for me. That's still a challenge. I don't have much accountability. I think it's more accountability within myself, because I have this self-awareness about that I need to be working well. Because don't forget something, guys, is if you're currently working from home, you're really blessed. And a lot of people did lose their job. A lot of people are super stressed these days, and it drives me crazy when I see people not realizing that and not being grateful that they're working from home. Where there could be actually just there they could just be laid off. So just that should be enough for you to be working well, and it should be enough accountability to me. But like, how many I heard lately in the province or in Canada, there's gonna be 1 million unemployment application or something like that. So should be super happy and grateful about that. And I did notice something though, like, and I'm super proud of our staff, because I see that there's a good intention of making things happen and working well. Pretty much almost, if not actually, I didn't have maybe one in the past 2 weeks, sick day or time off or things like that. So super massive improvement. And I think the team that we have is very, very committed to the situation, while appreciating that they're working. And for us, we're super lucky, because so far the impact is very minimal, if even it exists. Well, the thing is, Eric, when you say you don't miss to prepare for lunch at night, that was something that made me screw up my food habits in the past. You know, I don't know if I show you, but like I was probably having 75 pounds of fat more than today, a few years ago, and there's a few things. That's a bit strange that we're going into a food convo, but I think it's necessary, especially with IT people. The thing is, there's two things for me that did work. One, I had to dissociate my mind or my brain from the fact that food is cool and it's nice and it's a good time to have and it makes me feel great, and I had to remove that from my mind. So that's first. Second is I had to make a system so my nutrition, I wouldn't need to think about it. So that's why we ended up creating with my wife and I this barbecue, weekend barbecues, and I do barbecues in winter as well. So and I do it with charcoal, so it's easy, it tastes good. We get chicken and beef and milk, and we cook everything on Sunday, and we have the meat until the next weekend. The thing is, my wife, when she preps her food, she just cut me a few veggies, put in the Tupperware, and then I will only put my meat in it with some aioli and olive oil, salt and pepper, and that's it. I shake this. It tastes good. It's definitely not a pizza, right? But it prevents me from gaining fat for no reason. And plus, I don't have to think about it. And if really I'm fed up and I know I want to change something, then I might just change the aioli for balsamic or the chicken by eggs, or so this way I don't have to think about it. And if you wait to be hungry to start thinking about it, you're gonna be stupid decision. You're gonna make stupid decision. What else? What else? What else do we have? Chef Raf. Well, I was really interested in food before. Like, I was cooking a lot, but when I did realize what makes me feel good, I stopped cooking because most of what I was cooking was not what you should eat every day. Not bad food, but you know, I used to cook a lot of paella, so that obviously you don't eat this every day. Cooking. No, Kyla, I'm not gonna start that channel, Cooking from Home with Raf. But that made me think of something. I wanted to bring up something. One second. What it was? What it was? What it was? We're talking about food. We're talking about food. I had another point, and I had another point. I'm sure Tony's laughing at my hopper head now. It's gonna come back. It's gonna come back. But I had something about that. The food. What was it? Jesus. Anyway, I don't remember. If it comes back, I'm just gonna say it. Yeah, well, I heard stories about you know. Anyway, I can't even say that. But some companies trying to make it and not paying their people properly or getting them to claim unemployment insurance. Anyway, the it's not very ethical to me. No, totally not. And I feel sometimes the stress with our staff, and a few guys like brought it up to me, and so far, like, I pinch myself because we are in a privileged business to me. Oh yeah, 100%. The thing is you can do many things. Like, for example, I'm gonna give you an example. A long time ago, I had read in a book a company that was going through really, really a big storm, and so what they did is they could not make the payroll. Okay, they could not make the payroll. So what they did, and they asked their staff, they explained the situation, they've been super transparent with them, and they said, look guys, this is what we propose. If you don't want, it's fine, we understand. And they said, we would like everyone to take a 10% cut on their salary, and we're gonna delay this payroll, and once we go through that storm, I promise you, like the guy was saying, I promise you, I'm gonna bring you to blah 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 somewhere in the trip. A few said, no, I'm not doing this. Most stayed and did come in, I mean, give their all and help to go through the storm. And the guy did actually bring them in the trip, and they celebrated that, and they've been bond even better from there. So there's a difference between communicating this way and trying to survive by, doing some unethical moves and imposing it on the staff. Now, with that said, like, I don't know what's gonna happen in 2 weeks, right? Everything that we're going through right now is unknown. So it's 2 weeks now, and well, even more, but for us it's about 2 weeks, and it's going very well. Super lucky, and super happy and grateful about it. So, all right. I'm gonna keep going for a minute or two, and if there's not much more question, I'm just gonna end there so we can all work. Well, that's it. That's it. And at that point, it's your choice to accept it or not. But it's not, to me, this is not unethical. It's just correct. Like, it's normal. So, and it happens in many companies. I'm not saying it's never gonna happen to us. So far, it's going very well. I'm not saying it's gonna happen. It's going very well. Everyone's working, and we have not been impacted. So it's great. Yeah, but to me it's super sad, and but it's not unethical. I'm really, really about work ethic and money. I think we call it money ethic or cash ethic, but one thing I had said to a few people in the office when this started, I said, and it's not just in our company, but in most companies that have their staff going home, is that this will basically draw the line between the guys that you should keep and the guy that you should not keep. And it's in situations like this that the people that you need in a company will stand out. Yeah, my violin is in the back there. I don't think you missed that. I'm not playing very well. All right, so 907, we're gonna wrap up. Oh yeah, value ethic for sure, for sure. The ethic is everything. If someone wants to, if I had, if an employee of a company would ask me what's the your number one tip to stand out and grow within a company, I would say, and it's kind of the same thing, but I would say, you know, have an incredible work ethic while removing or reducing, if not eliminating, the stress slash giving peace of mind to your boss. I think most company owners are looking for people that's gonna be able to own shit, do them, not stress them, give them peace of mind. All of that is making someone to grow immensely in a company. And people that stress, I mean the employees that stress a boss is generally will be fired along the way, or they're gonna end up leaving because they're gonna feel that they're not gonna be able to grow. Yeah, Steve saying that to not forget showing leadership with your with other staff as well. Totally. Someone cannot be a prick with another colleague just for like it's everyone's supposed to be a leader in some sort. Last question, someone? Before we go back to work. I don't want to be responsible for your Slack of today. Well, I don't know if you're talking about me, Guillaume, but I've not been good all my life, and I don't think I'm that good today. I did suck a lot in the past. I did a lot of mistake, and when I started at managing people and a company, I really got thrown in it without any experience. So I did screw up a lot. I think when you switch your mindset about bringing value to everyone that you deal with, whether it's your staff, clients, and you only consider that during the day, that naturally makes you someone better than the rest. So when you consider the other person's interests all the time and bring them value, it's just naturally happening and it shows, right? It's not that you're such a great person, it's just that the person feels the value. It's always been a goal of mine to bring more value, whether it's to a client or an employee, than what they're being paid for or what they are paying for. It's not easy. It's not. I don't think we did it yet. But I'm still dreaming of that day that someone is looking at his paycheck and be like, I get so much more than my paycheck. In the same way for a client to be looking at what the client is paying and be like, Jesus, I get so much more than what I'm paying for. If you can get into that zone, you're already like in another class. And that's the same thing for an employee. If he's giving more to his boss than what he's being paid for, or at least in perceived value, not necessarily in working 12 hours a day, you will be there for life. That's the same thing with wife, boyfriend, friends, kids. Without necessarily having an exchange of money, like if your significant other is feeling that it's getting or she's getting so much value, then that's it. You're a good look, Eric. Well, unfortunately not. I guess sometimes there's guys or girls that are so beautiful and naturally spoiled that it becomes a value, but not for you and I. Did you had to give advice or get advice from other company owners, friend? Oh, definitely. I mean, a lot of what I know, a lot of what I do today is just things that I've learned and I share. It's not things I did not. I did not just suddenly started to do them. I've learned and I did mistake, and you learn from mistake and you keep going and I ask questions and you get mentors and you know the books in the back there. They're not all there, and the top shelf is books that I did not read yet, but all of the other ones is books I already read. So you need to learn, you need to learn. And especially when I did start back in 2005, I think. Yeah, 2005, and I had my first staff member. I saw Eric was in the chat. Not Eric Ogg, but another Eric, the one that works with us. He came in, I think, in 2006 or 7. And even then, he could tell you how much I suck at the time. I remember the first guy I did fire in 2005, and really that was a mistake to just hire the person, but I had to do it, and the company owner at the time just told me, you have to fire that person. And I'm like, okay, I never did that. And I have this mindset sometime that when I'm stressed about something or I don't know how to do it, I just go and do it and I don't think about it. And that's exactly what I did. I went in the room and I tried. Yeah, thanks, Eric. Thanks for the support. Well, look, I mean, we learn. I think it's funny. Sometimes I feel that life should be reversed. We should grow. We should get to life with 90 years old and super smart and wise and get younger. Because I feel that we learn for like 60, 70 years, and when you're ready, you're about to die. Yeah, I'm definitely open to critics. Everyone, you know, there's a thing that when I get into an interview, especially the final one, it's something I say all the time, is that you have the absolute right to say anything to anyone the way you want and have an adult conversation, as opposed to be just gossiping and complaining in the back of anyone, whether it's me or a colleague, that you're not allowed. So I'd rather someone come and vomit something to me, then have a conversation, then just you know, talk in the back. And sometimes it takes balls, you know, and I understand that. But people at the office know that it's very safe to talk to us. It's super safe, and actually it brings result. And if they're too shy or they don't have the courage to do it, which I respect totally, then they can go see their pod leaders or their team leads and talk to them, and they know how to talk to us. So they it's super critiques are super open. There's actually Ray Dalio was saying lately that in a podcast, I think, that each individual in his team are he picked them in a way that he's able to get. I mean, let me rephrase that. His members, he picked them because they are willing to have a different opinion than him and talk about it. I think it's actually a big weakness in some leaders to not be able to talk openly about an opinion that is different than theirs. Not really, Rico. I don't really have friends in other companies similar to ours. Tony does, but I don't network enough. Well, it's funny, Rico, you're saying as a designer you need to accept you need to accept critiques. I did see designers in the past that were not able to deal with critiques to a point where it would create me stress. You know, like you want to bring up something and then and you know that the reaction might not go the way you want. That's not good. That's not good because as an employee, giving being able to bring criticism to someone or the owner or your team lead is one thing, but you need also to be able to do it and accept the critics as well. Because then it's only one, it's never just a one-way street. It's always two-way street. And you cannot be doing something and expect your boss to do something and then just not do it. No, of course. Of course they're not good designers. We've been lucky because for 6 or 7 years we had one designer that was pretty good. At first that was difficult with the critics, but eventually we got along very well. Enrico is going very well. I'm super happy. Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Actually, everyone should be able to listen to critiques. We should all be able to deal with critics, so. And sometimes it's not because you get the negative feedbacks about what you did that you suck, you know? You cannot take it personally. Hey, it's funny because I wanted to go live for 15, 20 minutes. Now it's 1 hour 6 minutes, so I think I'm gonna let you guys go to work. Just a quick fire question if you have, otherwise we're gonna cut this in 30 seconds. Some country to finish, maybe. Oh, you know what? I think well, actually, it's funny. I'm just gonna push play to whatever I add. Playing Let Us. Okay, no, that's a meditation music. That sucks. But I was listening to some punk this week. So we're gonna end on. Thanks, Guillaume. We're gonna end on. This so, and I know we cannot stop the live super fast because it's gonna enter up on YouTube. So, Kyler, maybe stop it around like 9:21, 9:22. That's all I like. Have a good day, one.